When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
It's time for a Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Nobody can ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did.
On Giants.com.
You know what I saw? New York Giant Prime.
And the Giants mobile app.
17-14 is the final. One touchdown, we are world champions. Believe it,
and it will happen.
The Giants Podcast Network.
Let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's the fun.
Welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. We are here on Giants.com every weekday from 12:30 p.m. for 1 hour to talk Giants football and all things NFL. Thanks for being with us. I'm Paul Dottino. He is Super Bowl champion Howard Cross. And we're going to get right into it in just a moment, but put this number away for later on in the show. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. 4513 if you'd like to give us a call. But in the first half of the program, we're going to talk about Alabama's NFL draft prospects.
Yeah.
Roll Tide, right, Howard?
Roll Tide.
Yeah, okay. I've been around this guy long enough to know. And then we're going to quickly go down to Orlando, Florida, and the NFL League meetings and get a quick recap on what's going on from Mike Eisen, senior writer of Giants.com. But first up, let's give you a reminder. You could always find this entire archive of this show and our entire podcast network on the Giants mobile app, podcast platforms everywhere, and at giants.com/podcasts. Now it's time to bring in our first guest of the day. And the Alabama Crimson Tide annually have a plethora of players who go into the NFL draft and get taken very, very high. Ryan Fowler is a host of the Tide 100.9 FM down in Tuscaloosa. Long time of familiarity with Howard Cross. As Ryan, we were talking just before the show, I said, Howard, you know Ryan? He goes, everybody knows Ryan down there. So thanks for joining us today.
Well, everybody tries to, and I love this place, man. Listen, to be a guy that grew up in North Alabama, I mean, the sticks of Alabama, to come to Tuscaloosa, I think a lot of people call me the voice of Tuscaloosa, which is fine. I love this place. I mean, this is my home. I've been here, you know, not many people can come to the university and you stay, and now I'm doing a radio show, and I've covered Mike DeBose, Coach Fran, Mike Price, Mike Shula, Nick Saban, and now Kalen DeBoer. So it's a lot of fun, man. Sometimes I have to pinch myself to make sure I'm doing this job that I dreamed of doing as a child.
That's awesome.
Well, let me ask you the first question to kick this thing off, because I think it's probably a pretty good debate, and I'd like to know where you stand on it. J.C. Latham and Dallas Turner, who is going to be the first Alabama player off the board in the draft and why?
I think it's probably going to be Dallas Turner just because of the measurables. When you look at Dallas Turner, I mean, we knew that he was going to test very, very well. And he gives you everything, especially with what Will Anderson was able to do, you know, in the NFL last year. I know they're two different players. I get that. But it's looking at this Alabama way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once Dallas got to the NFL combine, that the, you know, the measure was were going to be there. And this guy just – he's a lunch pail, work boot type mentality. I mean, that's what he brings to a locker room. And I think with the success of Will Anderson, that may help him a little bit. I mean, he was his running mate. And, you know, at times, I mean, they each got different techniques. But, you know, Dallas is a guy that just really puts a lot of pressure and really, you know, allowed Chris Braswell to grow up as well. I mean, Dallas Turner created some extra attention himself and really allowed Chris Braswell to have the season that he had.
Yeah, Chris did a great year. I was thinking that Chris might be, you know, challenging Turner for that first pick from Alabama.
Yeah, it's another guy. And I mean, you know, it's all like, you know, when you get to the NFL draft, you're looking through these guys, you're going, okay, you know, you could even create competition with Terrion Arnold or Kool-Aid McKinstry, you know, which DB goes first there.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those guys have certainly earned their title. But, you know, you look back at J.C. Latham, at times, I know that an offensive line is a unit.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think that this offensive line did a great job as a unit. Now, when you look at J.C. Latham individualized and just look at him as a player, yeah, he checks all the boxes of an NFL tackle. Yeah, I mean, he does. I mean, he's also lost a little bit of weight, too, because when I saw him at the pro day last Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
Looked like he was probably down a good 15 to 20 pounds. He just looked quicker, going through all his different agilities. So that may be more of a comfortable weight for him. But this sack, I mean, I don't have to explain to Howard anything. I mean, this sack number that Alabama gave up, they were 129 out of 133 teams at keeping the quarterback upright. I mean, they were not a good football team, you know, in protecting the quarterback. So, as a whole, this team unit struggled. But when you isolate it and look at J.C. Latham, he had a really good season.
Yeah, that was, you know, a bunch of factors happening. That's some of the
Absolutely. Of
the scheme. That was some of the errant snaps that were going all over the place, so it didn't help a lot when you weren't sure where the ball was coming some of the time with his quarterback. But I definitely understand. But he's a, you know, measurables, yes, feet great, big strong guy. He's a road grader in the run. The pass protection is where they're going to try to figure out if he's good enough to be that, you know, in top 10 pick.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, top 10 to me might be stretching it to me. I think it's Dallas Turner. I just think mm-hmm. Dallas Turner is going to be one of those first guys off the board.
Okay.
And then you might see some maybe those teens kind of pick up J.C. Latham. And, you know, Howard, do you think he could play left in the NFL, or do you think he's right all day long?
I think he could do two things. I think he could play a right tackle, which would be great for a lot of teams. A lot of teams are looking for right tackles because every player that comes out of college swears up and down he's a left tackle, only a left tackle. And I think he could slide into guard probably and play, which is you know, a double dual thing that can make him more valuable to a team. You need that Swiss Army knife of a lineman when you get guys out there, and he has the feet, and he could pull and get down the line of scrimmage. Like I say, he's losing some weight. He realizes what he needs to do to get to the next level. So, yeah, I think he could play, you know, if had to, left tackle, but definitely right tackle and inside of one of those guards.
He no doubt is a lot of fun to cover. He's a, you know, good guy in the locker room, is my understanding. He's kind of a leadership guy. And they got several of these guys I'm sure you asked me about, but J.C. Latham was kind of a core leader because, remember, this Alabama season didn't really get off to a start that they needed. Got off to a kind of a bumpy start, and that leadership kind of rallied the troops and allow this team to be a playoff team, which is maybe something we were not thinking back in September.
Let me go back to Turner and Braswell, if I can, for a second, Ryan, because, you know, when I was out at the Combine a month or so ago, it seems like forever ago, the common thought there is that, you know, you usually see these high-profile edge rushers go very, very high in that top 10.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, with the three quarterbacks who everybody thinks are going to go first.
Potentially four.
Maybe four.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive line. Yeah, there's a couple tackles that everybody thinks are going to go high.
Receivers.
Three wide receivers mm-hmm. everybody thinks is going to go high. It's a real weird circumstance that there's a chance, I mean, depending upon where Latu of UCLA goes,
mm-hmm.
you might not have an edge rusher go in the top 10. You just said yourself, you're not sure if Turner's a top 10 guy. So, in another draft, would Turner and Braswell be getting a lot more attention than they are? Is this simply a matter of circumstance that the other positions have more quantity of high-profile guys? Or are these guys maybe just not as good as some of those other great prospects we've seen?
I think it's what you said first. I think it's this draft, and it's kind of funny how need is there. And if need's at the top and you got a team that has that need, go get it. And if you believe that he's high enough on your draft board. So, yeah, I think if you look at a typical year, I mean, we could probably go back to, you know, Dallas Turner last year or Dallas Turner the year prior. It seems like, yeah, they would be a little bit more value, but probably just to drop off a player, I don't think there's going to be a lot of difference in what Will Anderson was able to do in Dallas Turner. I mean, yeah, they're two different players. I get that. But, I mean, as far as production, I watched both of them, you know, here in Tuscaloosa. And, you know, if you'd have switched out jerseys, yeah, I mean, you could have been able to say, hey, that's Will Anderson, that's Dallas Turner.
Mm-hmm.
But they play so similar together. I mean, the pressure that they're able to do, and, you know, maybe, you know, someone else can break it down from more of a fundamental standpoint. But when your eye test, just a generic eye test, when you look out there, they both have very similar tendencies. And even Chris Braswell, who kind of grew up into that next spot. I mean, he was kind of the guy that would have played a ton. I mean, I kept having some of the coaches would tell me, the assistant coaches would say, you know, this Chris Braswell guy is just as good as Dallas Turner and Will Anderson. The only problem is he didn't have a room to play. I mean, unless there was an injury, there was nowhere to play. And so he got a limited time to kind of show you what he could do. I think Chris Braswell is going to be another big-time player in the National Football League. I just think he checks a lot of those boxes, too.
Yeah, the difference between Turner and Anderson is that, you know, Turner's got a little bit longer arms, I think. You know, he's kind of lengthy. He plays with a lot more bend when he gets to the edge on guys. He can, you know, one arm you and push you back, but he plays with a lot more bend. Will's just like a force of nature, so to speak. He can overpower you. He comes inside. He comes outside. Not known for the big bend when he gets to the edge to you know, turn off that corner, but that's kind of what the big difference is between the two guys. And the explosion, you know, that Turner showed in the combine is, it, you know, kind of like very validated what it was going on. Braswell, kind of the same guy. You're right. They're playing kind of the same position. They kind of do same measurables, but, you know, the guy who gets the first call or the marquee name, he gets more attention.
Yeah. Well, and also keep in mind now, Alabama, I wasn't a big fan of their outside linebacker coach here. So they may get better coaching at that outside linebacker spot. Coleman Hutzler was here, and people tell me that, you know, he taught some bad habits to Will that somebody had to clean up before the NFL Combine prior to Will going out. I will say that I think he'll have better coaching because I think Coleman Hutzler was the weak link on this coaching staff, and unfortunately he was the outside linebackers coach at Alabama. And I say, you know, I know people say, well, hold on, Nick Saban didn't hire a bad guy. Nick Saban, at the back end of his tenure, the quality coaches were just not where they needed to be. And when you look at Coleman Hutzler, he's at Mississippi State. I believe he's a defensive coordinator over there now. But outside linebacker just, to me, did not get the production that maybe we thought with that type of superstar, you know, mentality. Just really, you know, they got some sacks, but I thought maybe they should have had a little bit more. And as I hear more about Coleman Hutzler, I kind of think that maybe better coaching in the NFL is coming.
Let's talk about three other prospects, and I want you to separate them just a little bit here because Arnold and McKinstry are your two defensive backs who a lot of people are going to be high on, and the Giants could use another corner. They could also use another receiver. I don't know that Jermaine Burton necessarily fits what they want to do, but these are three guys who are certainly going to get a lot of attention.
All right, so let's start with Terrion Arnold. And, you know, I think we all know about Kuhad McKinstry, but I'll kind of walk through both of these guys. But Terrion Arnold, this is the type of player that he is. Okay, let's go back, not 2023, but 2022. He was really struggling, but he had earned the position. He went to Coach Saban and said, hey, Eli Ricks is better. Play him. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I need to get better. So he literally said, for the betterment of the team, let's put Eli Ricks in. And if you remember in 2022, he did. He was a difference maker when you talk about there. I mean, and look at Terrion Arnold. He took that moment in time and said, I've got to get better. We did. And now this guy is a projected first rounder when you look at Terrion Arnold. To me, that's a story that is not told enough. And it's also a told of a locker room, team first attitude, you know, that I would want to build a locker room around. That's the type of personality. Every time I've ever met Terrion Arnold, in a media availability, like, I walk away energized because his energy is just contagious. I mean, that's who he is. Kool-Aid, another guy that, you know, brings a lot of energy. But Kool-Aid really didn't have a lot of struggles other than some of the punt return, right? I mean, the punt return just, it really never could get off for Alabama. They finally, you know, ended up having to go another direction. But when you look at two lockdown corners, that's a luxury that most defensive coordinators in the college football ranks. If you can have two of those on the same field,
right? I mean, NFL coaches don't get that very often either.
No, not at all.
Well, when you talk about locking them down and saying, hey, we can bring a lot of other things, Terrion Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry, that's all you need to say. Okay. Is they trusted them to say, hey, you lock this guy down, you lock this guy down. We get Dallas Turner and Chris Braswell coming off the edge. Hopefully we can win most of those competitions. And they did win quite a few. I mean, the defense definitely made improvements in year number one under Kevin Steele.
Yep, absolutely.
And Burton at wide receiver.
All right, so here's the thing. Okay, Burton is a guy that's going to play with his emotions on his, you know, on his shoulder pads. He's a guy that's probably going to tell you a few things. He's probably going to I talked with this young man out in L.A., out of the Rose Bowl, and we don't ever get a chance to interview him because he's a guy that sometimes will say things that, that you know, they don't want out. And so well, because he doesn't really have a filter, right? I mean, the filter's just not there.
Okay.
It's stopped up or something. But after sitting there talking with him, I almost became a bigger fan because he told me the pressure that's on him to play and to achieve his dream. And he told me that, you know, that he wants to go and to be able to make some money to be able to take care of his sister and his mom. And he said how much they've supported me. I want to be able to give back. So I place a lot of my pressure on me. So that's why I play with a different energy, knowing that if I don't make it, they don't make it. Hmm. And they're not going to be able to and I was just sitting there going,
that's pretty heavy.
I mean, I literally, yeah, hey, man. I mean, listen, we're in the media business, but every now and then that onion around my eyes or something kind of gets some watering a little bit. I mean, I'm just sitting here listening to this young man's story, and I'm just like, man. I mean, now I became a Jermaine Burton, and sometimes you don't hear those personal stories. So he's a guy that can give you a lot of things as a wide receiver, but really the thing that jumps out to me is he's not afraid to go across the middle. Physical, 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 physical. But now the trade-off is you're going to have a little smack talk. You're going to have a guy that's going to jump up, jump in somebody's grill, and he's probably going to do some things that you have to, you know, like, I mean, I'm looking over, Alabama beat Georgia in the SEC title game, and I guess Georgia fans have been trolling him, like, on social networks. He goes to the student section, okay, and he's over there doing all these hand signs. He's spelling out Crimson Tide. I mean, it's like by himself, and I'm like, What is Burton doing? He's over there trolling the Georgia fans.
That's funny.
So but in a way that is funny, like he's laughing. It's not mean spirited. It's just he's having fun. So that's just who he is. He's going to wear his personality, you know, on his shoulder pads. But the more he played, the more I liked him. But will I tell you that he's a guy that needs to grow as a player and as a person? No, I mean, I think that's obvious. But you could start to see the little bit of flash in his skill set. Mm-hmm. And I almost wonder, when I look back and I think about this year, if that offense would have been cranked up a little bit more. We were not a team that threw the football a ton. Like, we did when we needed to, but not consistent enough. And I think that was pretty frustrating a little bit for Jermaine Burton, because you could read the nonverbals, right? You could read him, you know, kicking the ball or throwing the ball, because our offense really just didn't get to where it needed to be. I think somebody, if you can get Jermaine Burton, and I don't even know where he's projected, but, you know, maybe a mid-round, get him in, let him buy into the system, I think you could guide him to really being a productive player in the NFL. I think he's got the speed, he's got the hands. It's just those little bitty things. Put him with an offense that can feature his skill set, and I think he can really put up some good numbers. Like I said, I haven't seen exactly where he has been projected to go, but I would, just guessing, I'd probably say, what, third, fourth round? And maybe a little bit high on that.
It's a lot of receivers. I couldn't project where he's going to go, but I tell you one thing: if he really wants to play, and he's really, you know, given the story that if he makes it, his family makes it, he'll fit in anywhere. Like, that's his responsibility as a young man or as a man himself. He has to, you know, get it done. And like, what, there are so many opportunities that he will. He could be covering some punts. If he's willing to do anything, then he'll make it. That's what it kind of takes when you're coming in there. And if you're not, you know, the first 10 picks or the first whatever, you got to be willing to do anything to play. And if you're willing to do anything, you usually make it for a long time.
Well, you know, Ryan, he had to help himself at the combine because his athletic scores were all very good, including the 4.45. That's not going to hurt.
And an 11-foot broad jump, too.
Yeah,
didn't hurt him at all either. So, yeah, he's explosive. That's for sure.
Well, he's an athlete. I mean, really, he's a, you know, kind of a gutsy player, because you don't see him tiptoeing across that middle. I mean, he's a guy that'll go across there. He's not, you know, afraid to catch it. Matter of fact, he'll kind of deliver some lumber too as he's getting hit. I mean, he's I mean, sometimes the defensive guys, I've seen their reaction like, whoa, this guy's physical. I mean, he's a physical wide receiver. If you look at him at the line of scrimmage, trying to get off those defensive jams, he gives you a lot. Now, he loves that deep ball. Now, that's his speed. He likes to open it up a little bit. And, you know, at times we hit the deep ball and at times we didn't. But Jermaine Burton, definitely, and think about where he was at Georgia and where he's at today. He no doubt grew as a player in Tuscaloosa.
Yep. Well,
sounds like maybe he could be a sleeper for somebody. And I'll tell you what, if he's got that over-energized kind of intensity, drive, and attitude, the Chargers need a receiver, and Jim Harbaugh would be a great coach for him.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying.
Yep.
Ryan Fowler from the Tide 100.9 FM in Tuscaloosa. Appreciate your time very much for joining us today and giving us the lowdown on Bama's prospects. Howard, did you want to add something?
I want to ask one question. So how's it look? How have you been around the spring at all? Have you seen what these guys are doing? Like, what's going on with the new coaching staff? Like, you know, Saban steps away. Really just like, hey, that's it. I'm done. And, like, everybody's like, what? Now, how's the new coach? How are they looking right now?
All right, so we've had Kalen DeBoer on twice. He came on and did two interviews with us, one about 3 weeks ago and then one last week. The media access is much different than Coach Saban. We're getting access to all of the assistant coaches, all of the offense, all the defense. They're bringing those guys in, bringing players in. So from a media availability, we hit the lottery down here because Coach Saban was fun to cover, but he didn't give us access to any of the assistant coaches. So now we're getting that, which is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the system, there's a different vibe in that Malmore football complex. When you walk in, it's just a different energy. And I'm not saying – I hope people don't read into it that, you know, it was Coach Saban, because it was not. It was just – he had trouble hiring coaches at the back end of his tenure. I mean, he really struggled because, you know, even Tommy Reese and Howard, you and I talk about this on my show. You know, think about Tommy Reese. He leaves his alma mater, comes to Alabama – Alabama, Nick Saban retires, and now he's out of a job.
Yeah.
So he has to leave. I mean, think about that. I mean, it was hard for Nick Saban to bring these coaches away and not being able to look at them and say, hey, I'm going to be here for 3 years. I'm going to be here for 3 years. I'm going to be here, you know, at least 3 years.
Wasn't that part of his success, though? When you're winning games and winning championships, don't teams want to cherry pick your coaches constantly?
Yes, and they never stopped, but it almost became where there were so many coaches out there that were looking for the same type of assistant coach, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because I heard some names of some of these assistant coaches, and I'm like, really? Is Alabama down to that level? So when you look at hiring coaches, that was where it kind of struggled. I know the NIL played a role. I know we don't like it. He did it. But this new coaching staff – it's a breath of fresh air. When you go into the building, now listen, it'll all change if they start losing football games. We haven't got there yet.
That goes for us in the pros.
Unfortunately, what the standard said, it only has to be two games lost. So as long as he beats Auburn,
right.
they'll be all right.
Ryan, we got to run because we got to get to our next guest, and I got to read a couple of spots. Okay. So thank you so much, Ryan Fowler. From the Tide 100.9 FM in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Again, thank you so much for your time.
Roll
we
tide.
Appreciate you.
Roll Tide. You guys have a great day.
Take care. The Tide always have a slew of top-notch guys. I mean, Howard, you know, it's so easy for you to walk around with your Tide isms.
I know, but you got to remember there was a spell right after Coach Perkins left. I think it didn't happen again until Coach Stallings kind of came in. Then he left, and there was another dry spell. Then when Coach Saban comes on, it just changes the arc of the program for a
no
while.
No doubt.
He had a, dare I say, a Bear Bryan-ish kind of effect on the team. Or now it's a
tremendous
run. Now it's a Nick Saban-ish effect on the team. Like, you don't get better than the best coach of all times. So that,
I got you.
That works.
All right, before we get to Mike Eisen, and then we will get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. Remember, the Giants Huddle podcast has long-form interviews with all kinds of Giants folks, past and present, and national media folks. Search for the Giants Huddle. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Go to giants.com/podcasts. Also, Giants season memberships are available. Season tickets can be yours all season long. You can stay connected to the team even if it's out of season. Memberships are now available for 2024. To learn all about exclusive member benefits, visit Giants.com/tickets. Limited inventory is available. And the Giants official connected TV streaming app is Giants TV. It brings original video content and game highlights on demand and direct to Big Blue fans. Giants TV is free on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV and the Giants mobile app. In just a minute, we'll get to Mike Eisen, who is representing Giants.com as the senior writer down at the Orlando NFL meetings. Quickly, before we do, though, Howard, one of the big things that's come out of the meetings, and we'll ask Mike about it, but I want to get a quick take from you before we do. They're changing the kickoff rule for this year, and it's going to be more along the lines of the XFL rule, where the players are going to be lined up, you know, only so many yards apart. They can't move or run or start going until the ball gets down. And there's a lot of little idiosyncrasies to the rule, but the league is saying they're trying to keep the kickoff in the game without losing it.
Okay,
so I appreciate the intent.
Let me just say this, and I understand the rules, and I understand, like, and I tell people this all the time, America's favorite food in theory is hot dogs. Everybody loves American hot dog. It's 4th of July, everybody has hot dogs.
Okay.
Nobody wants to see how they're made.
That's right.
You just don't want to see how they're made. And by letting all, we thrive on access. We get paid to talk about football all year round, every day, every aspect of it. What's happened is that you got some of these commentators and some of these people like, oh my God, how can they do that? It's so dangerous. Not just the kickoff. So the other rule they're trying to imply is the no side tackle, where you tackle and fold around the guy.
Oh, the hip.
The hip takedown, right?
Yeah. But they've now taken that out.
I'm about to say, if that was still in, and you had this kickoff, the games would never end because you just kick off the guy to run down the field. You can't tackle him from the side. Touchdown. And like it'd just be like back and forth. There'd be no offense, no defense. It'd just be like, we got to scheme up a good kickoff return. Mm-hmm. That's what it would be. I think the new kickoff return rules are good. I think that the old rules where people were lining up, if you did it where you couldn't throw your body at a guy, but just block him, mm-hmm. because the old rule was this. We'd get together, grab hands, and we'd start running up the field. The guys coming down would be a wedge buster and a guy to pick off the edge. The wedge buster's only responsibility was to run down and try to run through and throw his body through those two guys. Mm-hmm. You stop them from throwing their body through, mm-hmm. and you don't let them grab hands. It's really a safe play. Okay. It just is. What they've done now is that they've let people say, well, we got to keep the kickoff of the game. It's so dangerous. It's probably going to be more dangerous because they're going to be free runners. Because if you get up there and you get juked, we watch it every week on punt return. Mm-hmm. Do we not? Mm-hmm. We watch it every week where we're like, oh, man, I wish they could hold up that gunner. I wish they could hold up that gunner. Maybe they should double that gunner. How are they going to stop? You get three or four gunners out there, they're not. They're going to be fair catching. They're not. I'm not going to put my hand up and let a guy run free willy at me and hit me that hard. There's going to be some blow-ups.
Okay.
That's the truth.
Okay. That's Howard Cross's perspective. Now we go to Mike Eisen from Giants.com, senior writer who's in Orlando at the NFL meetings. And Mike, I guess we should just start it off. Let's kick it off with the kickoff rule.
Every week.
Because we have now heard now heard Howard's opinion. From your perspective, what's the scuttlebutt as people are now coming out of the meeting this morning telling us there's a new kickoff rule?
Well, I think the most often heard word about that is interesting. In fact, I'm actually down at the pool, and I just ran into Joe Shane, and he was saying it's going to be very interesting, but he wishes they would have done it prior to the start of free agency because it affects the type of player you're looking for under this new
rule.
You know, you need two returners now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it just so happens with Isaiah McKenzie, they did add a returner, but he says, you know, the type of people you want lined up to cover kicks is might be a little different. So doing it this late in the process makes it a little more challenging. But I think everyone's pretty fascinated to see how it all works out. You also made a good point that your kicker is probably going to be more involved now in tackling. And, you know, you got to – yes, exactly. You got to be able to make sure that your kicker can kicker can tackle, but obviously you expose him to injury. So, you know that may cause teams maybe to add to carry another kicker just in case.
Or so bring him on rugby,
there's
guys.
There's a lot of corollaries to this new rule that people really haven't thought of yet.
Yeah, well, they should have consulted Matt Barr on the tackling kicker part. I'll tell you that.
I mean, yeah, you know. Right. Like I said, you're going to need to find gunners and put them in that line. That if you put good gunners in front of those guys, if you could find four guys that could play gunner or five guys that could play gunner, you're going to eliminate the kickoff.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if you have the kickoff team and the kickoff return team, they're lined up 5 yards apart, the return team has a bit of an advantage because they can see where the ball's going and they could start earlier than they The kickoff team has to react to what the return team does.
Nah, so. The advantage will be, and I know what they're saying. The advantage is actually, it's kind of like a slot receiver, and you're trying to cover him and stop him from going a direction. You can run at any angle you want, but I watch these guys every week, every game, every team, same thing. If you have a guy like almost like a Rene Thompson, a legendary guy here that could cover kicks, even Jesse Armstead, who covered kicks from the gunner position, you can't necessarily stop or angle a guy to stop them running down the field. If you have a guy that's running a 4-4 or a 4-3-40, you got to have a whole line of guys with 4-3-40s to slow them down.
Yeah.
You got to be able to get a jam on them, and it's like every DB doesn't get a jam. Every DB doesn't play press coverage because some guys can't get jams.
Yeah.
So that's what they're looking at. Yeah, it's going to be some free runners, a lot of free runners. Yeah.
Well, you know, Mike,
just
that,
to go
that,
back to the return part of it, Joe Shane mentioned that, Wandale Robinson is a guy who's not a punt returner. He doesn't really track the ball well, but he now becomes potentially a kickoff returner in this new scheme.
And you have to wonder when teams are in that fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds, and we always talk about that being special teams area anyway, it may even become more important now that you may see a guy in that sixth or seventh round and you say, well, wait a minute, he can handle this job maybe better than you would have had to think about before.
It's going
to
be a lot of guys. Yeah. There are going to be a lot of guys taken in the draft that were, you know, they may have been stars in their teams, but they played in special teams and they covered kicks because some schools do that. Like Alabama's put their starters in there, and they're going to be like, oh, we can use that guy, even though he's not going to be a high draft pick. We can use him because he can cover.
All right, Mike, yesterday we know that Joe Shane talked. We know John Mara talked. Brian Daboll talked this morning. I know you were there. Are there some things that he said this morning that kind of either opened your eyes a little bit or maybe were a little more interesting than others? I know you'll be writing stuff and putting it up on the site later on.
Yeah, you know, Brian was, as usual, short on details and specifics. You know, a lot of we're just looking forward to this, we're just looking forward to that. As far as interesting goes, you know, he is also, as John Mara said yesterday, he's open to potentially taking a quarterback at number six if that's the best player and that's what, you know, they decide. He talked about a couple of the acquisitions, Brian Burns and Singletary, and how excited he is to have them. He calls Singletary Motor, Devin Singletary Motor. That's, the nickname he gave him in Buffalo. So he's very excited to have them, understandably. He didn't really want to get into, you know, understandably talking about Wink Martindale and, you know, the friction that they had, just that he's very excited to. He admits that 8 or 9 new coaches is a lot in 1 year, but he really likes Shane Bowen, the new defensive coordinator. He said that a few times. He's not sure yet what the configuration of the offensive line is going to be. So we haven't even talked to the players yet. So he's kind of shying away from specifics about that. He said he did admit that sometimes he might have to tone down his sideline demeanor that, you know, he said, I'm a passionate guy, and, you know, he gets kind of excitable. And John Mara said yesterday he'd like him to, you know, curtail maybe some of the emotionalism, I guess, is the way you put it on the sideline.
Oh, my goodness.
And Mike, maybe I missed it, but culling through what Joe and Dave's had said, and also John, it seemed to me that they're not committal on a time frame to hear Darren Waller's decision about coming back or retiring. And to be frank with you, that surprised me a little. Now, maybe they have a time frame for him and they just don't want to say, but I would have thought that they would like to know sooner rather than later if he's going to be in the plans.
Yeah, I would think so too, Paul. I agree with you on that. John, I don't think, was asked about it, but Joe just said, you know, those conversations are private. I've talked to his agent. We're waiting, you know, for him to make a decision. And then Dave today was asked about it and basically said, I'm just going to let what Joe said yesterday stand. And Dave essentially didn't even comment on it. But, yeah, I mean, the draft's a month away, and, you know, Joe made the point of saying that we have signed two tight ends this offseason, but I don't think anybody is equating either of them with what Darren Waller can do.
No.
So, yeah, it's a pretty big decision, and they don't really seem to be in a hurry to get it.
I mean, you know, when a guy's like, this is what we used to always say, and this is nothing against Wall or anyone, but if you start talking about retiring, you're kind of retired.
Yes, you're kind of retired. Yeah, so that was Parcells' thing.
Yeah, sure. So either you're trying to convince him to stay and come back, so what part do you get? Or if this is a conversation that I could, you know, I'm thinking about retiring, then I make preparations for another direction, and he'd have to come back and, like, you know, almost say, hey, look, I got to come back. This is my year. I want to, you know, give it all I got and everything. But that's a hard play. And I hate to say it, but if you're talking about retiring, that means
you're retired.
Yeah, you did. Aaron Donald just did it. He was like, yeah, I was thinking about it, and I did it. And Coach Saban did it. Coach Saban said he called a couple people, and they gave him the same advice. If you're thinking about retiring, you kind of retired.
Yeah. So, Howard, we may have an opening at tight end. You may want to start working out.
Right. I can't even walk. I can't even get on a plane without beeping. So, no, I think I'm good.
Hey, Mike.
We're not asking you to get on a plane. We're asking you to catch passes, okay?
That's right. We saw a note today. A Giants PR staff said that they've hired a new assistant offensive line coach, James Ferentz, who had time with the Texans, Broncos, and Patriots in the NFL. Did anyone address from the Giants as to what he will bring to the table?
No, actually, because the news came out after Dave's news conference, so no one had really said anything about it. I don't think he's coached anywhere before. I think he's been a player.
Yeah, and then he retired, and so that's kind of interesting, but certainly he's got some pedigree, two Super Bowl championships. Which is not a bad thing to bring.
Yeah, but coaching is different. You gotta be ready to go. He's gonna get a little education this time. I like it.
All right, Mike. Anything we should be looking for the rest of the afternoon before all your stuff gets posted on the site?
Not really. Actually, I think one of them is up already. You know, I just on my way down, I looked out the window, and there must have been 20 big black SUVs lined up in the driveway. People are running the hell out of here. I don't think there's going to be any more news coming out of the owner's meeting.
Yeah, all right.
All right. That's Mike Eisen, senior writer here for Giants.com down at the Orlando NFL meetings. Mike, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Safe travels back.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
So, Howard, let me ask you a question.
Uh-oh, that's
okay.
More.
No, we know there's a little time off here for the players as they figure out what they want to do and how they got to get their off-season stuff together. If you were in Darren Waller's position and you've taken a few weeks after the season to take time off and then you start thinking about this stuff, if you were going to come back, when would you in your own mind feel comfortable making that decision, knowing the kind of off-season work regimen that you needed to prepare yourself?
Different world. I was never Darren Waller. And okay. I don't mean it in a Darren Waller, like Howard Cross comparison. Just in my era, they were constantly trying to replace you. Like it was apparent constantly that in a no position from LT, Carl Banks, Harry Carson, all of us, anybody you can think of, I'm not even in the same swing speed as those guys, but they were constantly trying to replace you. So the moment the season ended, most guys started working out. started trying to get back in shape, trying to get back in that, you know, conditioning shape so they can get into the season. And then you'd be like, well, like in my last year, I had just had microfracture surgery the year before. And Coach Fossil's like, you know, they were like trying to get me to have surgery again. I'm like, man, I'm not having surgery again. That was ridiculous. 7 weeks, no pressure on your leg. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't do that again and play. And they called me up like, well, we may have to let you go. I'm like, appreciate the time. Turn off the treadmill. I'm like, let's do something else in life. So my theory on it is like, if you're going to play, you know you're going to play. You're already working, you're already grinding, you're already doing all this stuff. And this, again, my own personal opinion. You know what you're going to do and what you're willing to commit to it. If you're thinking about it, this is not a dollar amount, this is not chasing a ring, but if you're thinking about what it takes to be involved with the game, it was a lot harder back then, but I would assume it's even harder now, because back then, at least, we were training together constantly.
Right.
And now, sometimes they can't even get into the facility until the PA lets them into the facility and stuff. So it's just a different world. So I would be here with Sims and guys training 2 weeks after the season was over. No, you know, coach would be coming in, man, you guys should go home. Like, we are home. We just work out and watch tape and trying to get better to get something going. Now these guys are unfortunately not really locked out, so to speak, but not really advised to be around.
Exactly.
And yeah, so
it's a different world.
So in this world, you have to make a commitment on your own. You make a commitment with your family, your wife if you have one, your parents if they're involved in it, maybe your brothers and sisters or whoever, and you're trying to figure out, is this something I want to do? It's harder. Here's the thing, it's not going to get easier. And I want to make sure, like, Waller's doing it now. Think about in 5 years from now, when all these kids that are getting that NIL money and they come into the league with millions and millions of dollars already, mm-hmm. they're going to have to make a decision. Is my next contract worth it? There's going to be a lot of turnover going forward when these leagues come around. There's not going to be as much, you know, guys like, hey, look, this is my chance to make it big and I'm going to be okay. Some of these guys are going to make it big before they even get here.
Well, let's say Waller doesn't come back. Bellinger becomes the lead tight end.
Not a bad pick.
Okay, which he's a quality player. Mm-hmm. Not a superstar, not a huge receiving threat, but nonetheless a quality player. And then you got a lot of other guys who are now fill-in-the-gap guys.
Think of it this way. You're thinking of it the wrong way. They're probably going to – let's say they draft a top receiver.
The tight end position becomes less important in the passing game.
There you go.
Sure.
Let's say that they go, hey, we're not sure what we're getting. Let's draft that kid out of Georgia. He's still going to be on the board at six.
Bowers will be there, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
But that's not like a reach. That's a Darren Waller player.
Are you allowed to like a Georgia player?
Nah, I don't like him. I just said that's probably who they could draft. I don't like Georgia, Auburn, Tennessee.
I had him. I knew it. Like,
Hyde knows.
I got him. Hyde knows. Got him.
I almost like wrestled Hyde the first time I saw him.
All right, 201-939-4513. We've got 15 minutes left on the program. Chance for you guys to chime in. We go to line two. That's Andrew in North Carolina. You're first on Big Blue Kickoff Live today. Hello.
Slayton to tell you.
Hi. Hello. You guys there?
We're here.
Yes, we are, Andrew. Thanks for calling today.
I love you guys' show. I'm a huge fan.
Oh, I appreciate it. That's very nice.
Go Big Blue, baby. I left work early to ask you guys some questions, so I appreciate you guys having me.
All right. Well, fire away.
So I know you guys hear more than the average fan. You guys are around the building more. I'm not one to listen to media stories, but yesterday, Mayor kind of confirmed one with Dave's having to tone it down some, which is surprising because I love his outburst, mm-hmm. but it makes me a little uneasy with the rumors with Wink and Kafka was looking for other options. So how hot would you say Dayball's seat actually is this year?
I don't know about hot seat, but let me do this. The world has changed so much. That when I played in the football, and I hate to sound like the guy, get off my lawn guy, but that's what I sound like. Parcells fired coaches on the sideline and trainers and cut players during the game every week. Constantly. You're like, oh, don't catch him before he falls. For God's sake. It was just crazy.
I loved it.
It was craziness all the time. Parcells couldn't coach today. They would not allow that. They would not allow the way that he talked to us. And we've gotten, you know, in touch with our feelings now. So I don't really know how to explain. And like, and it becomes this thing where I remember a few years ago, and I'm not saying that anything was wrong with this, when Richie Incognito got in trouble for bullying another offensive lineman.
Right.
Two giant men who push people around were bullying each other.
Yes.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, so I'm not familiar with you know, either coaching. If someone's yelling at you, it's usually because they love you. Coach Oriyama over at Connecticut's women's basketball, I think the young lady came on and said she had a picture of him for his 70th birthday, and he was like screaming. She goes, this is the face I usually see. And now Hunter said, when he's going, I don't hear you suck. I hear you. I love you. And he goes, you need to get a better interpreter. But it was still funny. So, like, I'm just used to something different. And if guys, everything said is passion on the sideline. It's things said that you probably wouldn't say ordinarily. If you can't handle that, this may not be what you should be doing. It's how I view it. But if that's what the head man said, then, you know, you got to think about it. Like, I don't know. It's very hard to do the job. And I'm not saying it because it's the Giants. I'm just saying in general, when you have to taper back so many things when you're demanding of your people of excellence.
One thing to remember, caller,
and that's not against Wink or anybody.
I'm just saying in general. Yeah. One thing to remember, Brian Daboll, for all the years he's had in football at all the different levels, this is still his first head coaching job. And he only just completed his second season doing it.
Yeah, and
he still has things to learn.
First year coach of the year, next year you're too mean.
Right.
That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Like, and remember, we just got through talking to the reporter from Alabama, and he just said, you know, it's hard for Alabama to hire coaches. Assistant coaches didn't necessarily want to deal with Nick.
Yes.
You didn't want to deal with winning a championship every other year. They didn't want to put themselves through. Like, I don't want him talking to me.
Look,
like that.
Look, we know how Coach Coughlin softened some of his edges, and it helped the Giants go on to win the Lombardi Trophy. So
I don't know about that.
Everything. The point is, everything evolves, and everything is a process.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
I guess I'm just a little surprised because, like you said, Parcells, John Mara was around that. I'm kind of just a little surprised that Mara actually
it's just a different,
spoke out about it.
Yeah, it's just a different world, man. I mean, it's just, a lot, like I said, I keep saying this over and over. Everybody loves hot dogs. Not everybody should see how they're made. It's just not the thing you want to know all the time.
All right, Andrew, what else do you have?
And just following that, I believe it is there a little bit of pressure for him to really go and get his guy this year. You know, the outburst with Daniel Jones, you know, this has been his third year, the little bit of the rumors with the outburst. Does this add a little bit of pressure? I'm completely with you. The receiver is there. Five at slot number six, you get the receiver, maybe get quarterback later. But I'm starting to really believe that Joe – is pushing to move up, but he just can't.
I think if they moved up, they have to give up a lot. And and it's only a couple spots, right? Because from six to like three or something like that, two or three spots.
Right.
I think you give up a lot. And when there are guys out there that people aren't talking about, like the quarterback from Florida State, right? This kid was on
Travis.
He was on a Heisman trajectory, and he got hurt.
Yep.
11-0, still finished fifth in the Heisman. Right? No one's really talking about him because he's coming off a knee injury. When these teams are looking for quarterbacks and how hard it's going to be and what's going on, okay, that's a kid that, you know, interesting that I probably shouldn't be talking about it, but that's a kid that people should be looking at. That's a kid that people should be looking at. And I think, you know, with Daniel's contract being the way it is, and we're hoping that Daniel's 100% healthy when the season starts, you know that he has at least 1 year left in his contract. I think that Daboll and those guys got more than 1 year left in their contracts. I think that, you know, they inherited a quarterback, right? They inherited a salary cap. They inherited a lot of things. And they did pretty good the first year. Last year, everybody would say not so much, but they lost the same amount of games by the one score that they won the year before. So they were right there, just one play here and one play there. So it's going to be interesting to see how they get those one plays corrected and make those one plays two or three plays on the positive side.
You know, Carla, also, Andrew, you need to keep in mind there was something else that's been said by both Joe Shane. I also believe it's been said by Brian Daboll as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of good prospects at quarterback in this draft. So could the Giants draft a prospect quarterback? They could. It doesn't have to be in the first round or even the second round. Mm-hmm. It could be sometime in the third, fourth, or fifth.
Mm-hmm.
They think
Spencer Rattler.
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned him, because I think Spencer Rattler, while being a little bit smaller in terms of size,
mm-hmm.
that's probably the biggest knock on him. Spencer Rattler did very well at South Carolina, did very well at the Combine. And Rattler, I think, is exactly the kind of prospect quarterback you're mm-hmm. talking about later in the draft.
Yep. So there are a lot of different options. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Andrew, anything else?
Guys. No, sir. You guys answered my questions. Great. That was great insight. I will definitely be trying to call in sooner. You guys keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you
that.
For your time.
Thank you so
appreciate
much.
It. Get back to work. Don't let the boss know you made the call. 201-939-4513 is our phone number here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We got about, 7 minutes, 8 minutes to go, so we'll squeeze in one or two more if you guys want to squeeze it in. I think, you know, Howard, one of the things that I've been telling people, and it's very hard for those who are demanding, mm-hmm. pounding their fist on the table, gotta draft a quarterback at six no matter what.
Nah.
And there's tunnel vision on that, which is just ridiculous. But here's the thing. You know, the Giants could very well draft a quarterback at some point in this draft and have that guy sit and be groomed and have Daboll coach him up.
Well, that's
you
why
you don't have to draft somebody.
That's
at
why
six.
I looked at the kid that was like kind of going to be on what I guess he'd be on not he wouldn't be on IR. He would be on what do you call it when your freshman
injury
year
injury reserve redshirt.
He'd be a redshirt
yeah.
guy. He'd be a redshirt guy at Florida State. The kid that's mm-hmm. a phenomenal talent, can run, can throw. Can do all the things that everybody talks about. Very high-rated passer, very mm-hmm. accurate. Not the smallest guy on the planet either. So it makes him, you know, an attractive player later in the draft. And that's a guy that, you know, probably a lot of teams are looking at and trying to figure out how to get him into the fold. You know, you had Dobbs a few years ago at Tennessee, got
sure.
hurt late, and then all of a sudden he comes in. You know, aerospace engineer. Every time he goes to a team, he does well.
There are certain teams that are going to be very intrigued by Joe Milton out of Tennessee, who is a big, strong, strapping quarterback
mm-hmm.
who has had very little starting experience with the Vols. So he's as green as celery.
He's
okay?
going to be way down, though. He's going to be like
way down.
Fifth-round draft
he's
pick,
been,
yeah.
yeah, exactly. That's exactly mm-hmm. what I'm thinking. Fifth round for him. Someone's going to take a flyer because they're going to love his size
mm-hmm.
and they're going to love his arm. He's got a cannon of an arm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's going to need a lot of polish, a lot of fine-tuning, and a lot of development.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got some pure physical tools that somebody's going to say, in the third day,
let's try.
I'm going to take this guy.
Yeah, there's going
to
be
and I don't need him to play for a year or two.
No.
That's okay. He's a developmental quarterback.
He's going to be fun to watch in preseason. That's
and
what
and yes, man, can he throw.
He can throw it.
What a cannon he's got.
And he's fast, and he's big. He's,
yeah,
you know, that,
sure
that,
is.
That's the new prototype guy. Everybody is Cam Newton, or what was the kid that went to the Colts at that time?
Richardson.
Andrew Luck.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's Cam Newton or Andrew Luck. Everybody's like massive human beings that can slam the ball down the field and run over you if they had to.
Well, you know, it's funny, Howard, and you can relate a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some fans ask about, you know, well, you know, the Giants never took a developmental quarterback. And I said, what about Jeff Hostetler?
They've had a ton of development.
You know, I know, but there's a guy, there's a developmental guy.
What about Danny Cannell? What about Kent Graham?
Exactly. My point was, though, that Haas not only was a developmental quarterback, but went through all that he went through, including play special teams and wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
and then wound up winning the Super Bowl.
I would even dare say Dave Brown was a developmental coach. Sims was still here. So
now, not all those other guys you mentioned necessarily had the success. Obviously,
the teams weren't as good.
They weren't as good.
No, but
they
the guys came in and won some games. I
so
caught
anyway,
passes from all of them.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, there's nothing wrong. And if you believe By the way, and here's my point about this, too, about potentially taking a developmental and why it's logical. If you believe that strongly in Brian Daboll's ability and his track record of helping to develop quarterbacks, well, that even makes more sense. Because now you're putting some trust in Dave's to be able to groom a guy over the course of the next year or two.
Me, personally, I do here and now. I take care of the here and now, and the whole development thing I get. But if there's a
that's why I'm taking a receiver at six, okay?
I do here and now. I need receivers. I need a big Molly Whopper in the middle somewhere to try to help me out. I might need another big lineman somewhere down the line. You know, I need some guys. I possibly need a cornerback, you know, potential safety. Like
this is why you don't trade up, Howard, because the expense to trade up is going to cost you too many picks. You can't fill these holes.
If you get lucky, somebody will fall to you that everybody wants, and you can trade down and get like four more picks.
There you go.
But you just need some guys. They're still rebuilding, repaving the way. And then these guys that are, I don't mean any harm to anybody, that are healthy, that came in healthy, and they're going to play healthy for the year. You don't need guys that are banged up all the time. And that's hard to do. Your best ability is your availability. And not having guys that are healthy, and I love all our guys, but that's a problem. Need more healthy bodies to can play. And I can see you week in and week out.
We go to line one. We're going to get this caller in real quick. A couple of minutes for Randy in California. You're on the program. Hello.
Going back to Cali.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Okay. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I love your guys' program. I watch you guys
every
day. I can't wait for the content. It's great.
Awesome.
I had a question. You know, they had the owners' meeting. It seems like the bye weeks are getting later and later. Why do they keep doing that? Why can't they have them all done by a certain time? Or do you like the All-Star, like to have all the bye weeks in 1 week and have the Pro Bowl, right? In the middle of it, right? And then everybody continue on. Why can't they do it like that?
I have no idea.
I'm just curious.
We can't do the Pro Bowl in the middle of the season because nobody would go.
No.
You're not going to risk injury.
Nobody goes anyway.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Well, now it's a skills competition anyway. But they're not going to interrupt the season. They're not going to do that.
I think the TV contracts are so big. They want to make sure that, you know, when football's being played during the season, NFL football specifically, it is the number one rated show every week. One of those games somewhere is if it's not a Monday night game or a Thursday night game, it's the late afternoon games that are number one rated in some markets, sometime nationally, and they're not giving that up. That's too many billions of dollars, and they're not giving that up. The thing about the week that they get off, you know, the bye week. I think the bye weeks are because now there's 17 games. So you're trying to squeeze all these games in before you have a potential nightmare at the end of the season, and I don't know, you know, if you get 12 games in or 10 games in, and then all of a sudden it's another snowstorm that tears up one of the indoor facilities, or you can't get into a stadium or something, then you can move things around because you got most of your games played, and most of the games are quote unquote non-conference games, so like. If it comes down to very late in the season and there's a huge snowstorm here at Giants, the Giants MetLife Stadium, they might go down to Carolina and play in their stadium while Carolina's playing in Tampa. Not that that's happening, but I'm just saying in general, they're trying to make contingencies because the season got longer. And not only did the season get longer, the Super Bowl's played later. So there's more chance of weather intervening into the season.
Randy, I would expect within the next two or 3 years, you're going to see the regular season go to 18 games, the preseason go to two, and you may even have – I know, Howard, I know you're a player, so I understand. And you may even wind up seeing an extra bye week. I mean, that's what the USFL did. They did 18-game regular seasons with two bye weeks for each team. Mm. I would not be surprised if that's the way the NFL goes.
If they do that, they're going to start playing in August.
Yeah, and I caught you on the huddle yesterday. You and Banks were talking about the hitting the quarterbacks and all the other kind of things, right? And the penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm sorry, but at some point, because you're paying these quarterbacks way too much money, $40-50 million a year, why don't you just put flags on them and call it a day?
No, that's
because it's almost getting to the point where it's not flag football, tackle football anymore, like in the 70s and 80s, what we grew up on.
I understand they don't
want to get in trouble for the league to get in trouble, like, you know, for concussions and everything else. I get that, right? safety. But at some point, it's still football. So, yes, anyway, I appreciate you guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And to follow up on this comment there, yes, it is still football. But just like we said, why are the games done the way they're done? And we said you can't do that because they're not going to give up any money. Trying to keep your quarterback on the field because there's sometimes, most of the time, they're the marquee player. You want to see the marquee matchups. You want to see the Mahomes versus Allens. You want to see whoever versus whoever. And when that guy isn't in, like look at Cincinnati last year. Look at us last year. We had a bunch of different guys playing quarterback. You want to see the marquee guys, and they just do. And that's part of it. More eyes are on the TV when – you know, more women know who the starting quarterback is, except for this year. Except for this year, they know who Kelce is because of Taylor Swift. But outside of that, usually you know who the starting quarterback is on the team.
That is true. All right, that'll do it for this edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, we are here every weekday live from 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time till 1:30 in the afternoon here at Giants.com. Don't forget you can catch an archive of this show and all of your favorite Giants podcasts on your favorite podcast platform or Giants.com/podcasts. As always, the show is presented by Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Giants. For Howard Cross, I'm Paul Totino. We'll see you next time.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear. This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.